Money starts right now, live from the Nasdaq market site overlooking New York City's Times Square. I'm Melissa Lee. Your traders on the desk are Tim Seymour, Brian Kelly, Stephen Grasso, and Guy Adami. We start off with a major market rally. The Dow and S&P both having their best weeks of the year. The Dow up 250 points today because, well, bad news is good news once again. A weak jobs report sparked a fresh round of Fed cut euphoria, and there could be more bad news on the way as there's no deal so far between the U.S. and Mexico yet. Tariffs could go into effect as early as Monday. So with Wall Street betting the Fed is ready to step in, is good news bad news, or is bad news good news again? And if there's more bad news next week, what does that mean for the market?
That's the most confusing question.
Considering,
yeah, I looked over at you.
This is bad news.
Is this a new game? No, because I get scared when that's
so, okay, so let's walk through.
No, I understand. Okay, it's right. Good news now, good news, and it's bad news, good news, right? That's your question.
Yeah.
Well, Steve, Steve answered this last night where he thought good news was good and bad was good, and he was right today, and he may be right for the next couple of weeks. I still think it's madness to think the Fed with a 3.6 unemployment rate with the greatest economy in the history of mankind, according to the president, needs to lower rates. But that's what the market seems to think. So full speed ahead. I will tell you, I've been scared all week. I'm more scared now. But the market is telling clearly a different story than I want to either interpret or acknowledge.
I think the rates and the Fed are the most important thing within the marketplace. I don't think anything trade related is even worrisome at this point for the marketplace. The market told us that. Bad news is good news. Good news is good news. I think the market's going higher. It's all Fed related.
So bad news today was a weak jobs report. Is bad news also tariffs going into effect? If Trump comes out and says, you know, we're going to put tariffs into effect on Monday, do we see the Fed funds futures for June, a June cut or a July cut go higher?
So,
and will the markets react to that?
So at some point, the impact of the Fed actually becomes less. So while bad news was good news, I'm not convinced that that's going to continue. What we saw, in my view, this week was really the market pulling forward the rate cuts, right? We started the week where we weren't even thinking about June or July, or started 2 weeks ago, we weren't even thinking about June or July. Now we're starting to price in July, possibly June. The tariffs on Monday, I think most people are thinking that's a short-term thing, lasts maybe a week or so, and we move on. But what concerns me is the jobs report today, the news we're getting from companies that are laying off people, that, wait a second, maybe the economy is stalling and tariffs are something that the Federal Reserve can't really offset. That's the problem here, and that's what concerns me. The market may have to reprice that again.
So here's the second or third derivative analysis of his bad news, bad news, is good news, bad news.
What would that be?
is that the market, when there's bad news in the macro and market truly is selling off, that creates a dynamic where the Fed actually considers the market a factor to consider. Right now, the markets are actually giving the Fed more ammunition to do nothing, meaning not cut. In other words, the more you see credit spreads come back to earth, the more you see markets continue to levitate, the more you see risk assets, asset inflation, household income, all the things. Guy talks about this all the time. The Fed has nothing to be worried about, along with 3.8 unemployment and 3.2% GDP. I think second quarter GDP, even with trade dynamics and the inventory dynamic, which will be a headwind, is probably printing 2.9. There's no room for the Fed. I will say today, despite this payroll number, what I said on Tuesday, which is that everything I heard from the Fed that day from Powell. And that was really when we started to kick this whole dynamic into high gear. I didn't hear from one Fed governor that they are going to cut anytime soon. And I think the markets now have that priced in. Mm-hmm. And so I feel more today as I did yesterday, which is that markets, I don't think positioning is warranted here. I think the economy is fine, but bull-bear ratios are not bearish enough. Complacency, obviously, this week took another leg higher in the last two or three days. That worries me.
Here's another twist.
Oh, my
along
goodness.
The lines of another wrinkle in this whole sort of good news, bad news is good news, bad news is bad news. All right, follow me.
I really
simple
am.
Enough.
The market's levitating. Does that give Trump cover to actually go ahead with the Mexico tariffs, to have a prolonged Chinese trade war, and
yes.
then the Fed comes back? I mean, you can play this till the cows come
home. Trump has
this is third derivative.
But that's, I think that's why you actually have to trade this market, and I don't think this is going to be one of those big trending markets. We're probably in this period where you get big swings up and big swings down. It's the deep end of the pool. When you have a profit, you take it, and then you wait to see. And you wait to see
There's
what happens in June.
You basically have three rate cuts in the pocket.
That's
someplace.
What the markets are pricing in.
The markets are pricing in three rate cuts in their pocket, and you also have maybe good news on the trade front. So if you get good news on Mexico, good news on China, that's only exponential on top of it because the market is already pricing in the Fed.
See, it's interesting. And to answer your question again, I mean, I think President Trump he lands tonight saying, okay, I have 1,000 Dow points to play with now in terms of what I can do with the Chinese and what I can do on this Mexico situation. And don't think for a minute that he doesn't take that into consideration. He has said that he has some wiggle room in terms of this great Dow Jones Industrial Average under his watch to play with. And I think he will utilize that. To your point, I think it gives him more latitude to play hardball with both China and Mexico. To BK's point, means it is a trader's market at this point.
So that implies to me a sell the rally kind of market. We should note that President Trump, you spoke about it, he's getting off Air Force One right now, returning from his trip to Europe. So if he makes any comments, we'll bring that to you. There you see the live pictures of him and the First Lady disembarking.
Why is it a sell the news?
The tarmac.
Because have nothing but a backstop right now. I look at it as a backstop. I look at it as...
No, but if what if Trump comes out and says, you know what, we're going to put tariffs on Mexico and we're...
You already said that.
Yeah, but the negotiations have broken down. Then all of a sudden the negotiations with China are going to take a lot longer.
We already
then the market
that.
Has to reprice
but the
that.
The market already told us
but
this week
we're
that the Fed
thousand
was more
points
important.
Off the,
so you're
no,
long no matter what?
We're 1,000 points off the bottom.
Yeah, no, I would say that the market already told us that China trade talks were going south. The market already told us that, I'm sorry, Trump already told us that Mexico was going south. So, and now the Fed told us first time since January that they're erring on the side of either neutral or cutting rates.
Right.
Market
and that's
says
what the
that.
Market's priced
that's
in this
okay.
week.
Okay. All right. Okay.
That's
so,
what the market
so,
priced
so the market
in.
Action is interesting today, with stocks finishing practically at session highs, going into the weekend, ahead of the Mexican tariffs, potentially going into effect. What does that tell you about the markets and positioning in the markets right
well,
now?
Well, positioning within the markets, whether you're a bull or just call yourself a bull in a dynamic where markets have done better and you think they can continue to do better, the next trade is actually to go into cyclicals away from defensive. Because if you look at whether it's the ratios of cyclicals to defensive, which however you want to do it and however you want to chart that, that's a ratio people look at to really understand where the market could be. We've had enormous moves in things like Starbucks and McDonald's and Staples and healthcare. You have a place where only in the last couple days did you start to see semis really put at least a little bit more of a leg under. So if you believe everything everybody's saying here, you actually want to be moving into the more cyclical stuff because, frankly, it really hasn't done much. This market's all been about heavy Dow-weighted stocks, heavy S&P-weighted stocks that don't include Apple and everything else.
All right. Well, we mentioned that stocks had their best week of the year. So let's take a look at some of the week's biggest winners. We do want to take a look at Apple and Nike and Chevron City, all big moves. We thought it'd be a perfect time to play a little, trade it or fade it.
It's a weird
favorite game.
Yeah.
Why is this weird?
Don't they shoot a graphic, though, when you say, don't we usually have the people trade it? Or no, we don't
Well, now
do
we
it.
Don't need to do it.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
You
that's
can do that, though, guy.
Okay,
you can do
fine.
It.
Let's do
it. Oh, you want me to say it?
Yeah.
Trade it or fade it. There you go.
All right,
we did
a live version of it. We started off with Apple. That was up 9% this week. Guy,
You're going to say, well, you're all bearish. How can you trade Apple? I say trade Apple. Why? Because if you look at where it traded down to on June 3rd, traded down about 175, which is a 50% correction of the recent low on December 24th and the recent high that we've seen. It did it on big volume, and I think you're in a traded camp. So although I am definitely bearish on the broader market, I think Apple stands on itself, so I say trade it, Melissa Lee.
Well, for me, if good news is bad news and I want to trade it, which actually means fade it, I want to fade this one primarily because you've had a 9% move in this. I view the next move in this market to be lower for a trade, so I want to fade the Apple.
Nice.
Nike. Best week in a year, up 8%, Tim.
Yeah, I trade it. And I think this is a story where fundamentally, first of all, Nike's been one of those companies that's been able.
No, that's the, I think
that's the wrong. They did the wrong graphic.
You have an enunciation.
There it is.
Was I not clear?
No,
did
you
I
were crystal clear.
Okay. Right. Came out
crystal.
Of
so Nike,
well.
Again, I traded. This is a case where people thought that China was going to be an issue for these guys. If anything, they've been running very counter to that. They've been exploding. They've been showing innovation again. This is a stock that people have worried about the multiple. At these levels, that's where you're at. I don't think in this environment you want to get away from something that's been very defensive.
Valuation is a concern to me. June 27th, they report earnings, I think, at 28 times forward earnings. And I hear that what Tim is saying, but I'm more inclined to, Mel, say it.
Fade it.
Did it right that time.
This is definitely a fade.
It's very confusing, this particular round. Let's start with you. With Chevron, its best week in more than 3 years, up 7%. Steve.
So I am a fader of oil prices, so that means I'm a fader of Chevron at these levels. The XLE has done nothing for 5 years, and Chevron is one of the top two holdings of the XLE. fade it. I'm staying consistent that way.
Tim.
Well, in the environment that if the Fed is suddenly as cautious as they are, that's actually going to put the brakes under the dollar's move. This is very good for oil. I think Brent prices are overdone. What happened to supply disruption? Chevron is the best and most efficiently run integrated oil company. If there's one I have, it's that one to trade.
Mm. All right. Citigroup up 6% this week. Brian Kelly.
Well, not surprisingly here, I am going to fade Citigroup and all the banks. Those things traded horribly today. Even though we had an up 300, Citigroup closed on its lows. The yield curve flattened slightly, but we had a pretty big steepening. I think the rally's over here in these. So you fade them, which is really to trade them.
See,
you not explain?
I'm just trying to say you fade it, but if I'm a trader, I want to trade out of it.
Meaning you're fading it.
Yeah,
so I'm fading the rules of the game.
Right. What doesn't make sense to me about the financials here is that people are concerned that the Fed may be stepping in, but if anything, they're steepening the yield curve at some point. And I actually think this is going to be good for the banks again. So Citibank, of all the cheapest money center banks out there, that's the one I can stand on valuation. I trade it.
Bonus round time. Campbell Soup having its best week in, get this, 3 decades. Guy.
Sold the guy.
Best week in three.
Three years.
I'm selling that to you, Guy. That's a new game.
You're 3 years, but I think you take what you got in this thing, you take your soup, you put your saltines in, you take some money off the table, and you absolutely fade this sucker. I mean, you've been given a gift after 3 or 4 years of a downswing. Fade. Triple fade.
That is an amazing move in Campbell's.
It is an amazing
move, but you can't buy that. You got to be a fader of that move. That's a spike. That's a flagpole right there.
All right, coming up, there's another stock that's soaring this week, and one of the traders says it's gone too far, too fast. We'll tell you the name, plus the man, the myth, the legend, Carter Worth, called the rally in Tesla this week, and you will not believe what he sees in the charts now. He'll be here to break it down. We're live from Times Square in New York City. Much more Fast Money right after this. Welcome back to Fast Money. On Monday, the chart master Carter Worth said Tesla shares were about to kick it into high gear.
We are where we were in 16, but we're actually getting down to a low that was seen only one other time in history. How far below trend it has ever been since its IPO. Here is the all data chart. This is literally the lowest point it has ever been. I think you've got a situation of so bad it's good. I want to make the bet that Tesla actually is a time, if you're short, to be covering and to being small speculative longs.
And take a look. Tesla cruising higher this week, up nearly 15% as investors pile back into the stock. So what does he see in the charts now? Carter Worth over the plasma to break it down. Carter.
Well, to some extent, one could say that sort of the opportunity has come and gone. And obviously, I wouldn't say it is not the opportunity that it was. But let's try to figure it out together. Look, reference points matter. Levels matter. One can see very clearly how well defined these tops are. And one can see very clearly how well defined the bottoms are. And newspapers have been carrying 52-week high and 52-week low columns for centuries. Chartists look at them. Individual investors look at them. Quant machines look at them. So I want to look at these levels in terms of the judgment that there would be a bounce. All the guess was, all the thinking was, all the judgment was that we would find that prior low and we would bounce. Okay, so we did. Now it gets a little more nuanced. How far could it keep going? Does it stop here? You did achieve a price objective that makes forward progress a little bit difficult. So take a look. The level from which it broke, this is about the 248, 250 level, and it plunged to 177. And what we did on this move, actual low to high, is almost 19%. What we did is we retraced, watch the lines, exactly 50% of the move. And so it actually closed off today, even though the market continued. So to some extent, the opportunity has come and gone. I would say you split the difference. If you traded it well off the low, you take some gains and leave the balance for the prospects of further gains.
All right. Carter, why don't you come on over? Evan, also known now as Eugene.
Gino.
We'll bring the chair over.
Did I mention that he came in seventh? Yes, I did. Brooklyn
yes.
Half seventh.
Half marathon. I know. It's an amazing
Gino.
Time
amazing.
For Gino.
How many people were in it?
Gino, I love that.
What's a longer-term prospect for Tesla?
Well, that part, you know, we had a good conversation, but nobody seems to know, right? But the issue is this. How about this? Hypothetically, if the market hadn't gone up, would Tesla have gone up? I mean, to some extent, you got the tailwind of the market, right? You have a big market move, and that's a high beta stock, so Tesla bounced presumably because the market bounced, the reference points notwithstanding. But the reference points were there, and at this point, do you Do you take some profit? Sure. Long term, Tesla's anybody's guess. And that was the conversation. Right. One could say they have a viable product. Of course they do. I see them on the roads. I've been in one myself. But you can't talk about valuation, and you can't talk about anything other than it's a dream. Not the cars, they're real. But what ultimately will become of this company is too unknown, and no one can speak on that with authority. There are bears and bulls, and that's what makes a market.
So, Carter, this was a relatively short-term call for you.
Right.
So is there a chance, though, that we bounce off 180 again? What would you look for as we get down there, and can we redo this trade?
So if you go back to the low, that is not a positive development, right? You want to continue your momentum. So even as we revisit the low, back and fill at that low, the presumption is you would break that low.
Yeah. Oh, it's good, Tim.
Well, first of all, great call, Carter. I mean, you know, that was, you know, he was basically jumping in there where sentiment was as poor as it's ever been, which he pointed out, and that was part of the reason he went that way. And you know, this year, this week, you also had news on May deliveries. At least you had some estimates at EV News. You had a lot of people saying that actually the S and the X are going to be better than expected. And look, those have been cash cows for the company. Company needs cash. It's really coming down to demand. There's also other stories out this week that suppliers are starting to dig in. I think that's a major off balance sheet issue. I still think it's about demand. And to me, I think the last time we were kind of talking about this name, Mel, you asked me what I'd done. I had actually rolled puts down. And that's what I think you have to be doing in this company. I actually think this week was a gift because I remain short. And I think fundamentals actually haven't gotten any better.
Yeah, I agree with Tim. So my question is CBW. We haven't goodbyed him, so I can ask him a question.
How keenly astute you are.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Where would you, in trader's parlance, sell the double? In other words, where would you take this long position? Great initiation at 180. Where would you say, okay, I'm getting out now, I'm getting short. Is there a level that you would do that?
Well, if you got back to the level from which it broke, right, that's where there's real overhead supply. So the plunge, the 50% retracement, if you were to go all the way back to 248, 250, frankly, I don't think you can get there. But were you to do that, that would be an epic time to get short again.
What's your take on Tesla?
I see declining lower highs since December. So for me, nothing fundamentally has changed. I would look for it to revisit where it just bounced. I'd be a seller still of Tesla.
You know what's interesting, Carter, is that when I asked you about the prospects for Tesla, obviously you're a technician. You look at the charts. You brought in the fundamental side of it. If you were just looking at the charts, what would you say the charts point to in terms of the next direction for
Tesla?
What
the charts point to since inception is an epic run-up and now the beginning of what is an epic collapse.
So it continues eventually lower, even though you have these tradable
rallies. This is not something that is for the faint of heart. It's high volatility. And it has been, for the most part, something that no one has profited from, unless you're in from the beginning. Shorts have been murdered. A lot of people have been long have been murdered. It's a very dicey situation. All sides, fundamentally, technically, quantitatively.
All right, Carter, we'll see you shortly in Options Action. Carter Worth. For more on Tesla's big move this week, head on over to tradingnation.cnbc.com. I'm Melissa Lee. You're watching Fast Money on CNBC, first in business worldwide. Welcome back to Fast Money. The delivery wars are heating up by cooling off. Walmart announcing a plan to start delivering groceries straight to shoppers' refrigerators. It's the latest announcement in the big box battle between Walmart and Amazon as both try to woo customers with better services like next day delivery or Amazon's car and garage delivery options. And speaking of Amazon, the retail giant getting dumped by FedEx today. The delivery company choosing not to renew its express contract with Amazon, but it does remain the carrier for ground services. So as delivery becomes a key component of these companies, are you ordering from Amazon or Walmart? Putting aside the fact that delivering groceries straight into one's grocery refrigerator is kind of creepy.
Mm.
Yeah.
Very creepy. I don't want anybody coming into my fridge.
What could go wrong with that?
Wait, they actually come
into your house?
They come into your house. I thought that was like... They're wearing cameras on them.
Who's
they? And they put the delivery person, and they put the groceries right into the
I can't make it fit myself, so maybe they can figure out how to make it fit. But are you there when they're doing it?
No, you don't have to be there. They're
wearing
cameras.
You probably have some sour milk in there, huh?
No, I don't have sour milk. I am a stickler for expiration dates, number one. Number two, I have a very specific way. I put, like, the ice cream in the freezer.
Looks like there's one on the shirt.
I mean,
the expiration date.
Ka-ching. No, I don't want people in my... I don't want people in my... I don't want anybody... I don't want my kids in my fridge, and they're my kids.
Even though we all don't like the service.
Why would you put your kids in your fridge?
Could this be offer? Oh, my gosh. This is just going
Couldn't this help Walmart to take the next leg? In other words, let's play Would You Rather. This is a derivative Would You Rather.
And I got
that's what
self
it is.
Would You Rather. Go ahead.
Self Would You Rather. And I'm telling you now, Would You Rather in this environment, absolutely Amazon over Walmart. Walmart is about to make a major double top. Valuation is ridiculous. Amazon is sold off. I would much rather Amazon, whether they're putting my stuff in my freezer or not.
I would rather neither of these. I mean, they're both
not an option.
Why isn't that an option?
There's no game, would you neither?
No, it's a would you neither. Yeah, it's
I'm tired of it.
Fade it.
No, I'll play.
Fade it. It's Friday.
I'm just saying neither of these you want to be in. We're going head to head in a war against two of the largest companies that can cut costs all the way down to zero. Amazon has already shown you they don't care about making money or they don't have to necessarily make money. Why would you want to buy stocks that are in that type of fight? Fade it. That's it.
Time for the final trade. Not final trade or fade it. Just final trade. Let's go around the horn, Tim.
I tell you what. Nike, love it. Everything they're doing right now, stay defensive, go with the swish.
DK.
So GLD Gold has had a tremendous run. Time to take some profits on that one. Sell out of GLD.
Grasso.
It's been my final trade a lot of times. Lennar, it's up 36%. Stay long, Lennar. It's the time to shine.
Guy.
So fun. Wasn't this a fun show?
It
was fun.
And you're off next week.
Oh. You going to miss me? See, at least say yes. Just pretend.
Of course I'm going to miss you.
Can I tell you something? BK is selling gold. I'm surprised at the BK. Mm. Newmont Mining is breaking out to the upside, Melissa Lee. NEM gets you done.
That does it for us. See you back here on Monday at 5. Don't move. Options Action starts right after this.